Well, good evening, everybody. We got a Rex with us tonight, and Mark, and April, and Ellie, Jerry, Diane, and we've got a number tuning in from Australia and New Zealand, and of course around here in the U.S. I've got an oil here that my wife sells, and it's called Transformation. Now, I would love to just be able to go around to each one of you and just put a drop on your forehead and it'd be all over. Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, that would be really nice, wouldn't it? And over the last two sessions, starting in January and in March, we struck a pretty hard vein with what I feel is one of the last stands of man to help him understand on his own how to live in the kingdom in the present time. And the reason I know we struck a vein, because there wasn't just a cry in Egypt, it was all over the world. And why you know you can't listen to people's opinions is half the group said how wonderful it was and how they were transformed, and some said they felt judged, and some said they didn't agree, and a couple people left, decided they're not going to be involved anymore, and that's all fine, because when you hear the truth, and you've been living as a human being your whole life, the lie that we've been believing doesn't want to leave. It doesn't want to die. And men love the lie. And what is that? It's not a statement. It's not a philosophy. It's the fact that we believe we're separate from God. That's the lie. And so tonight, instead of backing off, I'm going to turn the heat up. And so if there was howling before, it's probably going to double and triple tonight. And there's a reason for that. And I think that you'll agree with me when we start tonight. I'm very excited about what I'm going to share with you. And of course, I say that every time. And when I get done every time, I think I'm going to be all done sharing because I haven't got anything else to share. And then, of course, every time I lay my pillow down or lay my head down on my pillow at night, the Father starts pestering me with more and more truth about the same thing. I said, well, why are you talking about the same thing? Because no, we're not getting it. And as we talked about before, this octopus that's connected to this world has many tentacles. And so what we have to do is we have to go out and do surgery. And so I want to talk about truth because there's some confusion about it. So I'm going to start right out of the gate saying some things that we need to clear up, because we hear many say that they know truth, and we hear it said that there was partial truth spoken in the Old Testament. And then there's a term I've heard that's called absolute truth. Well, if there's partial truth and there's absolute truth, then there must be like a normal truth, right? Whatever that is, right? What do you think about that? There you go. Ellie. There's no such thing as absolute truth. There's no such thing as partial truth. There's just one truth, and when you hear it, it sets you free. Mm-hmm. Now, so I want to go back to a verse that we had a lesson on maybe a year ago. I don't know, but When I read this verse, I said, this is the roadmap to the kingdom. And it's James 3, 17 and 18. And it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then it's peaceable, and then it's gentle, and then it's easy to be understood. It's full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of this, righteousness, is sown in peace of them that make peace. So I want to start out tonight. We're going to flip this around. So usually I start out with the bad news and we end up with the good news. And a lot of times people don't hear the good news because they can't get over their embracing of the bad news. And so I want to start tonight out a little differently and start out with the good news and then tell you why we have to go where we have to go. And this verse tells us where we have to go for us to understand this pure wisdom. So tonight's lesson is called Pure Wisdom, and the title for the weekend is called Nothing But God. Now, so I want to take you on a journey. You can do this any way you want, but I want to take you on a journey. I want us to go for a walk. And so, to me, it's when I do these things, it's best just to close my eyes and just envision this, because what I want to do is we need to try to help us empty our minds. Because it said that the transformation comes from the renewing of the mind, right? Unfortunately, I can't put a drop of oil on you and have it work. And that's because we're aware of who we are. And so we've got a mind that's supposed to be a responder, not a reactor, not a doer, right? Not focused on intelligence and knowledge, but understanding wisdom. This kind of wisdom first produces peace. So I want to go for a walk across the streets of gold. And if you can just envision that we're walking on the streets of gold, and we're walking out on this pier that's just covered with gold towards this river. And as we approach the river, we're going to take whatever it is that we're hanging on to right now, whatever problem that we might have that is causing any type of concern, whether it is with health, financial issues, whether it's people problems, or it could be it's something that's happened to you in the past that's causing fear, or you just feel you did not get something you should have. You're talking to people about your problems, you're crying, repeating stories over and over, hoping you can get something to satisfy this need. So no matter what it is, what I want you to do is envision yourself reaching in this river, and we're going to pull out this nice flat rock that you can write on. You're going to write on it. You've never seen anything more beautiful than where you're at right now. It's peaceful. This pure river is flowing, is crystal clear in front of you. So as you take this rock out, you're going to write all of these things that's stealing your joy right now. It's stealing your peace. You're going to write all of them down on the front of this rock. So close your eyes now and just picture this with me. you've written everything on this stone that is a concern to you. You're looking out at the river that's slowly moving, just peacefully drifting along, and you're standing on the edge of this golden pier. So we're going to do this together because I'm writing some things on this rock right now. I've got some things I need to write on the rock along with you. So I'm with you. You're not alone. This river is fairly deep, and so we're going to just gently toss all of our rocks in the river together. And it's going to take about 10 seconds for this rock to sink to the bottom of the river. As you watch it sink, I just want us to count backwards slowly, envisioning from 10 to 1, as we're watching this rock settle to the bottom of the river. So we're watching it drift down just slowly through this beautiful, crystal clear river. And as it settles to the bottom, you can't read what's on the rock anymore. So this exercise is something that helps me to slow down, to clear my mind, so that we can focus now on this pure wisdom. A lot of times we can't hear truth because the cares of this world choke out the truth. So I want to take you on another small trip now to a place. I just read a couple weeks ago that the powerful Hubble telescope was able to see two planets that they said looked just like the Earth, hovering at the same distance around their sun. These planets are 191,000 light years away. But they could see them. You could never, in 1,000 lifetimes, reach this planet trapped in time, held down by your cares. Yet the Father that is within you that we're going to start talking about right now is already there. And so that means you're there right now. You're already there. And remember, you left your rock at the bottom of the river on the earth. And you're not going to be able to read it anymore. It's gone. And so now, who is this Father? Because it says to know him is life eternal. And so, when we get to this planet, when we arrive on the planet, we're going to look up and there's a giant stone carved. And there's an inscription on the top of it. It says, pure wisdom. Then it has an inscription underneath it, and I want to read to you what it says. When I first heard the word I'm going to read to you about 2 years ago, I sat straight up in bed. Diane was next to me. And I have confidence that what I'm going to tell you is that pure wisdom. Absolute confidence. And when you hear it, you will not argue with it. That's as long as you don't pick your rock up again and start reading it. We've got to leave it down there for tonight, okay? We can't pick it up again. But when you hear this, you're going to agree that it is the purest wisdom you've ever heard. So it set me up in bed that night, and it carried me into a realm of peace all on its own. And when it had its way with me, I found myself in my right mind. It instantly shocked me into reality, and it cleared my mind of any care that it had. And with all the involvement I have with this business and everything else, there's sometimes 1,000 plates that are spinning all at once. I have to figure out how to clear that out in order to hear. That's why a lot of times it doesn't start till I'm sleepy and I want to go to bed. And I say, why don't you leave me alone? I want to go to sleep. But my mind is starting to be clear so I can hear. And so I want to share that with you, what this said. But the legions of problems that come across my doorstep up until then disappeared. And isn't it funny? It's legion, right? A legion of them. So I'm confident that if you hear this the way I'm hearing it and you listen to what I'm saying, that this truth will have the power to rectify your mind as well. And it'll give you a tool when you're all by yourself to run back to. Run back to what I'm going to tell you, because it's the beginning. And so what is this pure wisdom? On this stone below, it says, there is nothing but God. There is only God. There is nothing but God. There is only God. And I remember shortly after that, a friend sent me an email when I had mentioned this in the teaching. And I heard these women Episcopal priests singing this. And they said, there's nothing but God, there is only God. There is nothing but God, there is only God. And they just kept singing it over and over. And as they sang it, I came into agreement with it. They just kept singing it over and over, and it became more beautiful. The more I listened, the more beautiful it became. This is the litmus test where we must start our journey so that we, when our tongue begins to speak, we'll know it's in contradiction to this. We'll know it. We'll hear it. And I'm convinced everyone listening tonight does not know this truth the way they need to know it. I'm absolutely convinced, because I need it. And I'm hearing. And I need it. I need something like this to stabilize me, to focus in when I'm seeing conflict in the world, when I'm seeing conflict around me, to see through the appearances. And so I want to say something else to you now. So we're going to start there, and I want you to listen to me, because I'm making sure as we build on this, that I don't contradict this statement. There's nothing but God, there's only God. So do you want to know something? There's nothing but God. There's only God. And there is nothing you can do about that. You cannot do anything about that. Where does that put us? See? Where does that leave us? Because we can't do anything about that. It's a wonderful truth. Yet, tomorrow morning we're going to talk about how we wander away from the barn where it's written all over in many colors. And we wander away from this truth. So there's nothing but God, there's only God, and you can't do anything about it. I'm going to say something else to you. There's nothing but God, there's only God. And if I never said another word, if I just stop recording right now, if I just stop speaking right now, guess what? It wouldn't change anything. If we packed up and went home, it wouldn't change anything. I don't have to come here and speak. I've said it many times. I've almost stopped. I'm saying, you know, God, I don't want to get up and speak. I've got plenty to do. And he's just pushing the stuff out of me. right? It's just pushing out of me. And I need it. It's, you know, I'm living this. It's happening in my life. Kathy's been writing me as she's listening. She's saying, Mike, I see that this is becoming alive. It's alive in you. It's really something you're experiencing. And she's right. It is happening. This is the beginning of pure wisdom. There's nothing more pure than there's nothing but God. There's only God. You can't ever, if that's all you ever said the rest of your life, you would never speak a lie ever again. And so this is the plumb line. This is where we begin. We must hear this. We must understand, what does this mean now? How do I take this and apply this to where I'm at? How do I apply this to where I'm at? And I want to give you some tools to help you do that. So I'm going to make some more comments that I'm convinced are just as pure because they don't contradict that statement, right? So I'm going to be careful with what I say. There's nothing but God. There's only God. And you can't do anything about it. Now, if I were to take a stick and stick a washcloth in your mouth and put a piece of duct tape over your lips and put some earplugs in your ears and put a blindfold over your eyes so you can't see, right? Because if you can't speak, it won't change this truth. If you can't hear, it won't change this truth. If you can't see, it won't change this truth. But if we cut off those three senses, what would happen? Your tongue would quit judging the world. You'd quit complaining. You'd quit talking about your problems all the time. You could mumble, you could moan, you could shake your head, you could make some noises, but nobody would understand what you're saying. And that's probably good. Because if we add anything to this truth or take away from it, Solomon said it's vanity. And so what are we doing when we walk away from this? Is we're trying to screw life onto vanity. And we don't get anywhere because 0 + 0 still equals 0. You can't add anything to there's only God, there's nothing but God. Now you get up and bark and start telling me about how you're a man and you're a human being and you did this and you did that and you did this. We get a long list and I'm going to tell you that's called works righteousness. I'm not interested in it. I'm not interested in hearing my own resume. And as we said last year in March, you can't get your resume through the keyhole into the kingdom. It won't fit because it's big. And the keyhole is real tiny. The only thing you can get through there is your spirit, which is God, by the way. It's the only thing that can get into the kingdom of God. And only God can know himself. And he's not created anything other than himself. There is nothing other than God. And so now we get well established in this. We can reach out and start finding out easily, where it is. We're off the mark, right? Where it is, we're off the mark. That's why this verse is so beautiful in James. So now we're going to make another statement. We're going to keep moving. We're going to say something Jesus said now that doesn't contradict this at all. And he said to everybody in the audience, he said, judge not by appearances, but judge righteous judgment. How does this line up with pure wisdom? There's only God. There's nothing but God. How does it line up with that? Because we got to keep the plumb line, right? So now how can I take that passage now and put it next to there's only God, there's nothing but God? Judge not by appearances, but judge righteous judgment. He's really saying the same thing, but now he's covering everything in between the hypocrisy and the pure wisdom is what he's doing. He's flipped it around now. James started out with pure wisdom and ended up in hypocrisy. Jesus is flipping around and starting out with the hypocrisy and telling you what pure wisdom is. So pure wisdom is also righteous judgment. But now he's saying, your hypocrisy begins with your judgment of the appearances. That's where hypocrisy begins. It's where it starts. It's in a little different order. Judge not by appearances, but judge righteous judgment. Prime directive, we called it. So the prime directives are marching orders. The pure wisdom is, there's nothing but God, there's only God. And then Jesus gave you the prime directive. Judge not by appearances, but judge righteous judgment. And as I said before, we don't understand what righteousness is, we don't understand what judgment is until we screw these two words together, because it changes the whole meaning. Judgment's always been a negative thing. The last couple weeks we've been talking about ego, and people are sensitive to that word. And I find people that are sensitive to the word ego are usually very emotional people. Now, I don't care what you call it. Vanity, flesh, ego, carnal mind. I don't care. They're all the same thing. I want it exposed. I don't care. I'm not sensitive to any of them. I want the thing dead. That's what I want. Because I don't want to wander away from my heritage. I don't want to drift away from my heritage. Okay? And we all do it. And we probably will continue to be pulled in many directions. Okay? I don't think that's going to change. We think the tribulation's the fog, and it's not. It's our judgment of it that's the fog. I like to live in a tribulation-free zone. But as soon as I say that, I end up judging the world. Because something will happen, and I'll get a feeling that there's something I did wrong. Even though I know better, a feeling comes behind that thought that makes me feel like I've done something wrong. And who's this I I'm talking about? It's not even real. There's no other I. It doesn't exist. So, I don't care who you are. I think there's over 10 people that teach and share that listen to these messages we share. And a lot of people are talking. But it doesn't matter to me how long you've taught or how many words have come off the tip of your tongue. If we say anything that contradicts this truth, there's nothing but God, there's only God, we are in separation. We instantly separate ourselves from that truth. Immediately. Immediately. And that's why the verse we shared last week is so beautiful. And I'm jumping ahead to it. I got to go slow because I can see it coming up on the screen here, but I got to wait. Okay? So the last time we were with you, we called the hypocrisy outer darkness, right? Well, why is that? Because it's outside of who you are. If you're judging by appearances, it's something outside. It's something Jerry was talking about, aura, a little bit ago. Well, the aura comes from the inside. And the only way it's going to be pure is if you're focusing on there's only God, there's nothing but God. Now, how could God create something other than himself? How could he? It'd be impossible. There's no such thing. How could he? It has to be a lie. It has to be an illusion. All of it. There's no way. So, now the task is, we've got to go park over this stuff. Here goes the howl. Okay? But our hypocrisy speaks to the appearances, judges the appearances through a voice of separation. This is why these lessons we've had before lead up to this, right? That's why the Father's taking them this way. We speak words and we defend the words we speak because we spoke them, and our ignorance then becomes arrogance. It can be done in a spiritual setting. It can be done by teachers. It can be done by anybody. God forbid, I don't want to do that. And I cannot say every word that comes out of my mouth is inspired. I know it isn't. I know absolutely it's not. So as Tony says, eat the whole chicken, spit out the bones. Okay, so what is speaking to you right now? That statement, there's only God, there's nothing but God, has to speak to every soul. And it will. And it is. And it has been. And it always will be. And it's never ending. It's a voice. It's the sound of angels, of trumpets, of many waters speaking. There's only God, there's nothing but God. It's always speaking. It's never changed. And so again, this is why this verse is so important that we talked about last week. If you just sang this for a month and all you said was there's only God, there's nothing but God, you'd be doing great. Okay, if that's the only thing you could say, you program it, somehow they put a chip in your back or something, and every time you went to speak, instead of cursing, you'd say, there's only God, there's nothing but God. Bah! You know? We'll teach a parrot. That's all he can say, right? And every time husband and wife fights, the parrot starts going, there's only God, there's nothing but God. Walk, walk. Right? Anytime he hears a noise, that's all he could say. And if you didn't say another word, it wouldn't change anything. If you didn't take another breath, it wouldn't change anything. What does that say about death? It's not real. Our life, our lungs going in and out, and our brain buzzing means nothing. It doesn't change reality. This is the work of salvation. It's not a work you do. It's a work to get away from your works. That's what's so hard. That's the difficulty. How do we get away from the fact that we can't do anything to change this truth? That's the work. It's beautiful, really, when you think about it. It's beautiful. So, nothing we've seen that takes place in this world, nothing we've heard on the news or for someone's breath, which includes your own, nothing you've seen in this world changes that wisdom. But what are we doing? We're commenting. We're talking about activities in the world. However, the Spirit within you knows there's nothing but God, there's only God, and that's all you are. There's no personality. There's no you and your problem. There's no me and my problem. And when we both meet and we both got problems, we move into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So now the verse we talked about last time makes so much more sense, because the verse I'm going to read now flips every religious belief, including our own, on its head. Right on its head. Because the verse said in Matthew 8:12, the children of the kingdom. There's only God, there's nothing but God. And all there are is children of God. The children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That was always a verse that was referred to as eschatology. Always. And it says it opposite of that in many places, and it's wrong. The children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's talking about people who've lost their way, which is us. It's not talking about somebody else. It's not talking about your neighbor who drinks beer and might be divorced or whatever it is. You know, I mean, I've got a record, you know. Okay. You know, it's not good. I know it isn't good. How do you get away from it all? There's always been nothing but God. There's only God. Mike, what are you squawking about? What is this? Shut up. Listen. Be still and know. There's only God. There's nothing but God. Be still and know this truth. So your spirit knows this. This verse was painful for a lot of people because people don't like the word darkness. They don't like the word ego. They don't like the word vanity. You know, well, you know what doesn't like all those words is our ego. That's what doesn't like it, because it's trying to protect itself. It loves the lie that it's somebody apart from God. It loves that lie. It protects the lie. It feeds the lie. It numbs the lie. It drugs the lie. It goes, tries out to buy something to make the lie feel better. Okay? Now, none of those things are a problem, except somehow we think we're getting satisfaction from them in some way. That's the problem. So that's why Proverbs said, hell and destruction are never full because the eyes of man are never satisfied. And the problem word is there is the word man. That's the word. That's the word that's the problem, is we think we're men separate from God. And there is no such thing. There's no such thing as a human being. Never has been. The children of the kingdom. Everybody. The children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, where there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We get real uncomfortable with that. There's nothing but God. There's only God. What a beautiful sound that is. And when we hear that, when we understand it in a pure way, it now the work begins. Now the work begins. Because the ego's got some problems with that. It's got some issues. It's got some history. Something's happened in the past that you're carrying forward. I heard somebody wrote me and said, I feel as it's been revealed to me that I've been stuck in self-judgment and fear of abandonment. And I want to get to the roof of the difficulty, get to the root of the difficulty. I sense somewhere along my life's path I didn't receive the ministering I needed to keep myself whole. Well, join the crowd. Because it's the same for everybody. Get over yourself. That's the key. Get the word self out of there and all the rest disappears. Quit whining. Quit whining. I feel sorry for myself. I didn't get this. I didn't get that. This is all the voice of separation. It's all a voice of separation. And the ego loves that. And it's harder. The more emotional we are, the harder this is to hear. That's why the howl goes up, you know. Up it goes like flames. It says the sparks fly upwards. Man's born to troubles, the sparks fly upward. Well, because he thinks he's a man. Now, the beautiful thing about this, when we get these things in line, there's only God, there's nothing but God. Judge not by appearances, but judge righteous judgment. We begin to know the Father who says, is life eternal? You got to get your mind off yourself. Get to know the Father who is that spirit, that living. He is that living soul within you. He is that living soul that's right now. I mean, I have no problem at all believing that there's all our relatives are on these two planets over there around this sun. It's fine with me. How do I know? They could all be there. And they might be trying to talk to us somehow. Who knows? It doesn't matter, does it? Because there is no space, there is no time. There can't be, because God is everywhere present. God's not omnipotent. God's not omniscient. God doesn't know something. He is all. He is all. And he's not a power over something because there's only God, there's nothing but God. But he is omnipresent, isn't he? And so omnipresence, if you understand that rightly, eliminates the other two, which is just religious jumbo-mumbo to try to explain some schizophrenic God that's called the Trinity. Okay? God is all. At full stop. He is all. You're getting counseling. You're getting psychological help. You get on the phone with somebody and you're crying. Diane just had an experience a couple weeks ago with a relative. And if I've ever seen a picture of this verse, hell and destruction are never full because the eyes of man are never satisfied. This is it. Now what do I do with that? If I'm going to learn something from it, I've got to apply that to me. I can't start turning around and judging this person. Okay? I've got to say, Father, help my unbelief. Because I want to grow out of this place where I'm not satisfied. I want to grow out of that spiritually and begin to experience a peace that when you take this with you, wherever you go, it won't matter what happens to you because nothing can touch God. It won't matter. This is the secret the people had, the martyrs had. This is the secret. They weren't looking for a tribulation-free zone. They weren't looking for some weird gospel that benefits you socially and financially. They knew better than that. That's just religion. It's just our religious beliefs that we've carried over from our life. It doesn't matter whether you went to church or not. All of us have a hyper-religious mind. Because a religious mind is somebody who's trying to change something in the world to bring peace into the world, and the very peace they're trying to bring into the world is what causes the war. Because if you judge friction, you're producing friction. You're part of the friction mess, right? Don't judge by appearances, he says. Don't judge by appearances, but judge righteous judgment. That's the only way you're going to see the Father in this world. It's the only way. So now, this person, everything that they were talking about, I'm going to tell you some of it. Can I tell it? Is it all right to tell it?
Sure.
Okay. Diane's brother just passed away. And they aren't going to be listening, so I know they won't be offended. So we don't have to worry about that. Yeah. But it's good for us, right? We need this to benefit us, right? She didn't like her brother, but all she could do is complain about the fact...
Who didn't like the brother?
The relative.
Okay.
The relative.
I like
the brother. Yeah, just calm down. Okay. This person didn't like the brother that died, but complained and cried relentlessly for hours that her picture wasn't in on the collage of pictures with her and the brother. Which there was hardly any pictures. We couldn't even hardly find any pictures. She didn't like being in the same room with the guy. Why isn't my picture in there? Why aren't my kids in there? And all the people that liked Richard and were around Richard, their pictures were up there. See? And I mean, this woman tore this house apart trying to find a picture of this gal and Richard. And I mean, what'd we find, a half of one or something in the background, you know? I mean, it just wasn't there. And I mean, this person's older than me. And I go, God forbid. I'm so glad I'm finally learning the truth after 56 years of hell. Now, we feel so sorry for her, you know, and Diane spent a lot of time on the phone talking with her and finally got it resolved and got things calmed down. But it hasn't changed that deep desire and need inside this woman. Hasn't satisfied it. That's what's sad, right? So I'd just love to go up and just pour this all over, you know, hoping it would work, right? I'd just love to just dump this all over, but it won't work. Because it has to what? The transformation has to take place in our mind. Help, Father, help my unbelief that's contradictory to this beautiful wisdom that you're all there is. And so who is this God? There's nothing but God. There's only God. And this God is judging the world in righteousness. Now we spent a lot of time on that topic. This God is judging the world in righteousness. So now I want to give you another word that explains this verse that Jesus said when he said, judge not by appearances, but judge righteous judgment. And, you know, and we really try to... The King James has got such old English words. They don't really mean the same thing today that they meant then, right? They really don't. And so when you read this old English stuff, you got to look around for other verses to help support. What does this really mean? Judge not by appearances, but judge righteous judgment. The word righteous judgment really is synonymous with the word unconditional love. It's really the same word. Unconditional love. Now, why do I have to use the word unconditional? Because the only love we've ever known has been conditional. So unconditional love is unadulterated, it's pure, and that's all it can do. So when we read the verses, to talk about this, it's beautiful. Now, there's only God, there's nothing but God, and you can't do anything about it. Thank God. And you can't escape the righteous judgment of a loving Father. Can't escape it. He's always saying to you, I'm judging you in righteousness. He's always saying to you, I'm judging you in unconditional love. He's always saying to you, I'm judging you in unconditional love. Moment after moment after moment. It's a broken record. Right? So, when does the contradiction begin? It begins when we start to judge the world at any level. Now, I don't like throwing people under the bus, but if you're out there talking and it's going out in the public airwaves, you're fair game, okay? And people email me, I use the material. It helps build these messages. I don't name names. I'm not going to name names. But it was written and said recently, this world is not God's intended will. Now, does that line up with the statement, there's only God, there's nothing but God? Does that line up with that? No. It doesn't line up with it, does it? What God is out there saying, this world is not my intended will? When he says, I'm judging the world in righteousness. What God is that? It's a strange God, isn't it? And this is why we get so confused when we read the scripture. I believe completely that the books put in the canon were inspired. But they're men talking about their lives, struggling, trying to find the true God, just like we are. And they've wrote books. And so that takes the contradiction out of the story, right? They don't have to line up. Of course there's contradiction. The guy's struggling. He's believed in 100 gods before he gets to the end. And of course there's contradiction. They aren't the same. This one's killing people. This one's killing babies. This one reward and punishes. This one does that. It's a god after man's own mind, see? And no, all of them are false gods. But the true God shows up and he says, why have you been preaching to strange, why have you been praying to strange gods? What are you doing? Don't you know me? A righteous and loving Savior, unconditional loving Savior who never judges you. And so Jesus came out and he said, my Father judges no man. Well, there's twofold there. One, he's not judging your ego. And two, he doesn't recognize your ego. He doesn't judge you as a man. All he sees is himself and everyone. The same thing. That's why it says there's no partiality, there's no hypocrisy in this pure wisdom. There's no partiality. God doesn't heal one person and not heal another. What kind of quack God is that? He doesn't do that. Take your lumps. Whatever comes to us, it says to be content wherever we find ourselves. Be content. Be content wherever we find ourselves. It says, this is the will of God, to be thankful in all things. Right? It's hard to do. It is. I'm confessing before you. I don't sound like I'm thankful all the time. I'll guarantee you. Now, am I judged for that? Not by God, but by my own words. Right? I carry then hell around with being little baskets and little buckets, and I hang on to them. Okay? It violates my spirit within and causes turmoil, doesn't it? That's the friction. It just comes. That's why that verse, judge not by appearances, but judge righteous. Judgment is the prime directive. If you got a problem, and I've, believe me, I mean, I've been struggling with this even the last few months, because I'll get this wonderful truth. Wow, this is great. I'm all excited. And something comes. Oh, shoot. Sometimes I don't say shoot, believe me. I'm trying to behave now. I said, Father, what's my problem? He says, I don't know what you're talking about. So, Father, what's my problem? He says, it's your judgment. What's my problem? It's your judgment. And, I, oh yeah, no kidding. I just got done talking about that last Friday. What's wrong with me? You know, I need a V8, right? Give me a V8. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Jeez. You know. And so, another week goes by. Something else stumps me up. Here I go, off into hell. Father, what's my problem? Well, it's your judgment. I told you that last time. Oh, yeah. It's your judgment. Okay. Smack myself in the head again, you know. How many times are you going to take? Well, it might take another 1,000, right? Who knows? The point is, I know this truth, and it's starting to stop me in my tracks because I feel the peace. And I don't want to leave the peace. Nothing but the peace. So help me God. I feel it. I feel his presence. I feel his direction. I feel his wisdom. And I'm saying, man, it doesn't get any better than there's nothing God. There's only God. There's nothing but God. And so get back to our roots, because that's where it began. And nothing that he's created is out of order. Okay? Nothing. The only thing that's out of order is all of our judgment combined together that's creating smoke and mirrors out here, right? And what's going on is real in this world, but the problem is the illusion, the conflict is our judgment of it, right? Don't quit worrying about your neighbor. He told you to love your neighbor as yourself. So leave your neighbor alone. Take care of your own judgment. Bring it home. Okay? And if you're whining because you didn't get treated right or you need something more, get over yourself. Okay? There is no me. This me that you're whining about is separate from God. That is the illusion. That's the heart of the illusion. And that person's out there, whack, just like a wild dog, you know. I don't know. Wish you'd give me that bone. I didn't like this bone. That bone was too cold. This bone was too hard. I mean, gee, many Christmas, you know. It's like the three bears, you know. Nobody's happy in any of the beds, you know. We'll sleep on the floor then. You know. Yeah. Now listen, I ain't got time enough to worry about your judgment because I got enough of my own going on. Right? We'd call it judgment management or whatever. I don't know. Believe me. See, everybody thinks somebody's thinking something about them, and I ain't got time to think of anything about you. I got enough of my own issues. I'm not kidding you, okay? So don't worry. You guys, you can say anything you want to me. I will not be offended, okay? Believe me. I will not be offended. So now, this God. I'm going to reread some of these verses in Psalms, which is when I received the revelation of righteous judgment. Now I'm going to repeat again. If you're making any comments about the world, you get done listening to Barbara Walters or Diane Sawyer or whoever else is on the news, and you start yakking away about nuclear war and famine and this person's getting sick and this person's getting healed and this person's blessed because he knows truth. That's all hypocrisy. All of it's hypocrisy. All of it comes from a religious mind, and you don't understand righteous judgment, and you don't know this God who says there's only God, there's nothing but God. You have not met him yet. And I want to introduce him to you today because he's standing at the door of the kingdom telling us to be still and to know. That's what he's saying. But we're going to keep looking around, and we're going to find problems somewhere. And we're going to mix them in. We even mix them in with our messages, and we call it truth. And it's not truth. And it ruins the whole thing, in my mind. I don't want to do that, okay? And I don't care who I offend. I don't care who gets upset, because I got nothing to lose. I'm not in this for anything, except just to set my own mind free. That's all I want. And there's a lot of people listening that that's all they want. A lot of people. And they're with us, okay? And that's what I want. I'm with you guys. I'm sitting over where you are, and I'm listening to you say this, okay? Because I need it just as much as you do. That's why it's alive, okay? I mean, I go into a lion and a bear's den sometimes, okay? I got a brother I love who's a wild maniac guy, and he can't say three sentences without complaining about something. And I listened to him all day. I rode in the truck with him for 3 days. Now you think that didn't get on me? You think that didn't rub all over me? I remember we was at the Waffle House at midnight and I started bitching about my meal. You know, after the day was all over. I said, man, this sucks. You know? I'm not kidding you. I'd shake it off. You know, I said, jeez. That was rough, you know. It was like a soaked dog, you know. I got out of there and I said, I love my brother though. So what do? I go into hell with him, don't I? So we go out into hell for those we love. And those of us who have the spiritual strength and understanding to lay down our lives for our neighbor, well, we've got the stamina to go and do that now because we're not consumed with ourselves and our problems, right? You cannot, you be a help to nobody. Is that all you've got is carrying a problem around with you? Right. Nothing. You're a help to no one. Yep. How are you going to help anybody with theirs? Yep. And so sometimes it's big. And I mean, I got big ones too, you know. Whew. How do you let go of them? Come back to the center. Start out again at the center, right? And know this God who says, I'm judging the world in righteousness. I'm judging the world in unconditional love, and I will minister this judgment to the people in uprightness. Now, I would have thought that verse meant something different, except at the end he called it uprightness. And I went, wait a minute now. That's really the opposite of what I've ever thought judgment was about. Because whenever I heard the word, I'd pee my pants, you know? Because I thought it was bad. Now, I've been in court before, and sometimes the judge gave a good verdict, but it isn't real common. But it has happened, and we went hooray, hurrah, you know, but that was like only 1 out of 10. Usually I had to write a check for something, you know, to the lawyer. Sorry, Mark. Excuse me. I'm glad you're here. You can check me on that, you know. Then he sends to Psalm 96. Before the Lord he cometh to judge the earth. Hold on to your pants, okay? Get your depends out. Here he comes. But here it says, he shall judge the world with righteousness. Unconditional love. He will judge the world with unconditional love and the people with his truth. This truth that has no partiality, does it? It meets the litmus test. It has no hypocrisy. It's judging the whole world in unconditional love. And it doesn't see what we see. Right? It ain't seeing what we're seeing. Unbelievable. That's called salvation, folks. That's called the gospel. That's the real gospel. And it's without partiality, without hypocrisy, and it stands the litmus test, doesn't it? Does it stand the litmus test? There's only God, there's nothing but God, yes? Did I hear an amen? Yeah. I'm not contradicting it yet. Now, if I start to, why bark at me or something, okay? Because this is the work. It's hard to stay focused on that, right? Now, once you've heard it, and you know it, it'll never leave you. And it was always there, right? It's always been there. It's been speaking to you. It's going to start getting louder. And it's going to speak, and you don't be afraid of your judgment. Let it speak into it, see? Don't run from it. Don't resist it. But when it comes, let this truth speak into that, see? Because otherwise you're going to get in works again, okay? Don't be afraid of the judgment. Confess it. Just say, wow, Father, I'm troubled. Well, what's the barometers? Anxiousness, worry, frustration, anger, fear, right? Resentment, it keeps going on. There's hundreds of them, right? Fear is one of the biggest ones. People that are real angry, it's usually because of fear. Impatience is impatience, but really, if you go back and ask yourself, what am I afraid of? Am I going to run out of time when there's no such thing as time? And it's amazing, when you take those truths and put it together, you feel the Father moving in front of you and making the crooked path straight. I feel it, I'm seeing it, and I'm beginning to be comfortable with not trying to control the outcome, not trying to suffocate the outcome all the time, right? That's what I'm finding in my own life, because I have many, many voices coming at me, right? Within and without. And I'm watching things all work together for good. Now, is it for my good, or is it for me to finally be set free of my judgment of the world? That's the key. Is that no matter what comes to me, can I learn to be content? And here's another word in Psalm 98:9. Before the Lord he cometh to judge the earth, with righteousness, with unconditional love shall he judge the world and the people with equity. Now, if it was any other kind of judgment, you couldn't put the word equity in there, could you? Because it contradicted it, wouldn't it? So the word equity and uprightness, right, and truth changed the whole meaning of those verses for me. I said, wait a minute, it said equity. I mean, it can't be that, it can't contradict itself in just the same verse. And I kept looking, here's another verse, here's another verse, here's another verse. And then in Acts 17:31, it said, he has appointed a day, and this is your day when you come into truth, when your Father within you will judge the world in righteousness, will judge the world in unconditional love by that man whom he hath ordained, wherewith he hath given assurance unto all men that he has raised him from the dead. When you start to believe this truth, guess what? That's when you're risen from the dead. Has nothing to do with anything physical that happens to our bodies. And I prove it to you because Jesus said in Luke, let the dead go bury the dead. Because if you're a child of the kingdom, if you're, okay, the children of the kingdom were cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hello? It lines right up, doesn't it? It all just fitting together just like a big jigsaw puzzle. Boom, 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 boom. It's all over the place. When you start to understand this, beautiful. And so Jesus said in John, he said, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Judge not according to appearance, but judge in unconditional love. For this Lord, this God, there's only God, there's nothing but God, this true God, that's judging the world in unconditional love, that God gives us the kind of wisdom, it says, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. Now, who are the righteous? People that know the Father who's judging the world in righteousness. That's the righteous. It's not something you do. It's something you believe. Right? This Father is in you, and that's all there is. And if you want to say times, if you want to go back and believe in time, well, let's say it's a trillion, 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 trillion years from now, okay? Let's go there. He's already there. If you want to look at it that way. That's why I know he's already on them planets. If I'm there, he's there. And if he's there, I'm there. Now, I'd love to get a little snapshot of it right now, you know. But we're called on to live by faith. Right? That's what we're called to do, to live by faith. And so, it says, of these people, he's a buckler of them that walk uprightly. Has nothing to do with tasks, has nothing to do with you screwing up and kicking the dog or hollering at your wife. Because those things will start to disappear when you're aligned right with your center. They're just symptoms, right? They're just fluff. And this is where we forgive each other, right? We, you know, my wife's seen me go ape nuts, you know, and she's a lot better at doing this than me. She's sort of, that guy's nuts. You know, but she just keeps loving me, right? She just love, 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 love. That woman's full of love, you know. She's just pure love. Now, I know, I'm sure she's bubbling a little bit. I'm sure she is, and I would be too if I was her, okay? Because, I mean, I come home with a couple bags full of tricks sometimes, you know, that I've rubbed against and it's gotten all over me. Well, what's it gotten all over? My own version of my humanity is what it's rubbed against, right? That I'm seeing disappearing. Now, is it dead? Of course it is. I just don't know it yet, right? So the only way to do it is to start with this pure wisdom that dissolves away all of the works that we've attached this identity we call man to. They can only be attached to them. It can't be attached to God, right? Now, the simplest verse in the Bible, everybody in the world knows John 3:16, but we don't believe it. For it says, God so loved the world that he gave. Not cursing the world. He's not judging the world. He's judging the world in unconditional love. We don't know it, right? Tomorrow we're going to talk about this love, and I've heard some wonderful truth about it. So it says, he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Well, what kind of judgment? Righteous judgment? Hello? Right? That's what preserveth the paths of the saints. It makes the what seems to us to be crooked straight. It sure looks crooked. I'm with you. Believe me, I'm with you. It looks crooked to me too, okay? And it grabs you. It still does grab me. It still does. Now, I haven't had to ask him what my problem is in a couple months, okay? Because I already know it's my judgment, okay? I got that one, all right? It's written down. I've carved it on my forehead, your judgment, okay? I got that one down. I'm learning some more stuff now. I said, you got some more for me. Come on, give it to me, you know? And he does, and he will with you too, right? He's not a respecter of persons. There's no partiality. This truth that's in me is in you just as much as it's in me. I'm not anybody special. And I don't want to be anybody special because then I enter back into hypocrisy again. And I ain't doing it. Okay? I've gotten enough awards. I've gotten enough attention in my life. Okay, I don't need any more. And I've got mostly bad attention, right? So I got over that pretty quick. And that didn't mean I wanted any good. I just wanted no tribulation. That's what I want. And I found out that was wrong too. So what I got left? He goes, nothing. What I got left? Nothing. It's just me. And I love you. Unconditionally. I'm judging you in righteousness. That's what I'm doing. What are you doing? Oh, bitching, complaining, whining, carrying on. Wish my coffee was cold. We'll have my wife bring my coffee in the morning. I say, honey, it's cold. Well, come down here and warm it up yourself, you know. She'll usually warm it up for me. I'm still working on that one. I still don't like cold coffee. When wisdom entereth thy heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion will preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Wow. We know what it's saying, understanding, discretion, knowledge. It starts out with wisdom. Knowledge means the same thing, because it's pleasant to your soul, right? Discretion will preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. What kind of discretion? One that doesn't judge the world? One that's judging the world in righteousness? That's pretty good discretion, isn't it? Huh? It fits in every keyhole. Every one it fits. That's the kind of truth we want to hang on to. It's the kind of truth I want to hang on to. And I'm telling you now, I'm a living example. It's setting me free. It's setting me free. I have something that I wrote on my rock that I'm not excited about. I'll be honest with you. I wrote it on my rock, and I forgot it. And I can tell you, I'm sure it'll be coming back, right? It's something we're going through together. The Father says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My love for you is sufficient for thee. My unconditional righteous judgment over you is sufficient for thee. Just trust me to take you through this, okay? People have misunderstood verses too when it talks about in Psalms 23, we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I've heard from some people and they think that applies, it's applying to somehow this death of the man that isn't even real. And I'm telling you, you look into that scripture, it's not talking about that at all. David was going through the valley of death when he said it. Had nothing to do. This was 23rd Psalm, and he was around in like 178. Right? They wasn't talking about physical death. It was talking about this death that comes from our judgment of the world and our voice of separation in this outer realm of outer darkness that you can go into. It said the children of the kingdom were cast into outer darkness. Why? Because we don't know who we are, right? And we've been, you know, we can't blame anybody. We've been taught it. When you look at the teaching, the birth of the ego, the history of man, we've all been taught it. It's nobody's fault, okay? Get over it. Everybody's had a perfect parents, perfect life. Doesn't matter what's happened to you. Your history's gone. There's no such thing as history. It's all gone. Get over yourself. Get over it. Whatever's happened, get over it. And I'm telling you, if you're still whining and crying about things of the past, you got a lot of problems because, man, there's a bunch of stuff going on right now. Isn't there? Yeah. So give that thing a kick. Get it out, put it in the thing, kick a field goal with it, and say, bye-bye, history. Right? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What kind of evil? My judgment of the world. There's enough going on right now. Thank God we've forgiven people. You know, we've forgiven our hillbilly neighbors. They don't bother us anymore. It is. Of course, I got to still call them hillbilly. I got to call them righteousness, right? Righteousness. Okay. Yeah. That's what I got to do, right? So, what is the promise? Second Peter says, nevertheless, according to his promise, which he's declared, which I've declared to you today, we look for a new heaven, a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Right? Amen. So let's be still for a while. We'll see everybody tomorrow at 10 a.m. And thank you.